Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now, the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cat. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
It's time for another It's My House, and today's live stream is titled Energy Deregulation, Community Meals, and Wish List, 619-768-2945. Just got a bit of sad news. One of the people I interviewed on here, every blue moon we run on here on It's My House, our platform, we run a sports show. I don't think we did any last year, but once again, I said we run it every blue moon, called the Sports Quadrant, where we do a live stream podcast. We talk about sports. I've only done, maybe in 8 years, I might have done five total, maybe. I'm not sure. But we did two, possibly three podcasts with the legendary Boston Celtic player, former Boston Celtic player, Sam Jones. Sam Jones passed away last week on December the 30th of last year, 2021, just a few days, less than a week ago, at the age of 88. And we had him on. He's in our archives. You know, it's my house, but we call those segments the sports quadrant. So I had Sam on. I interviewed Sam, I know, definitely two times. So we got at least 4 hours of archive podcast to Sam, which is available right now. You can look it up. We got almost 3,000 podcasts going now, but over 2,900. But I think I might have a third interview with him because it's been a while. So rest in power and peace, Sam. And, man, good person. And had breakfast with him, had brunch with him, actually, in North Carolina. Man, 5 or 6 years ago. Okay. In any event, I just found that out a few minutes ago. In any event, today, deregulation, energy deregulation, community meals, and wish lists. Okay. We have on our plans for this year, we want to plant a solar garden and start a solar farm. We've got 4 packets of seeds. Thank you, Connie Beasley, for that. He sent us tomato seeds, a packet of tomato seeds, okra seeds, honeydew melon seeds, and watermelon seeds. So when we're specific project, because it all starts with planning, I'll let you guys know. And on that, what we're doing today is now I'm using the program notes to guide me here today. Energy deregulation, Warren Buffett said, well, we'll get to what he said later, but Earth Wealth E-Village, which stands for Earth Wealth Energy Village, it's connected to that energy deregulation. All right, next note we have in our program notes here that we're looking at online on our Blog Talk Radio scrolling marquee. Community meals and local 9 friends. All right, so far I have a total of 7 friends. Now, I'm included in one of those friends. So I've got 6, and I'll be speaking with all 6 today. Because today is the 4th day of January 2022. So I'll be speaking with 6 today, and I'm going to find out how many of those 6 friends are ready to go now with a community meal. That's the first step that we take in our marketing, because people are attracted to meals. They're attracted to they're attracted to food. They like to eat. They like to drink. They like to socialize. So I've got a list of 7. I'm 1 of the 7. Now, I'll be having my community meals 2 days a week, but 4 times within Saturdays and Sundays. We have 2 meals on Saturdays, 2 meals on Sundays. So we're going to see how many of our other community members, partners, can boots on the ground can do that. So community meals wish list. We have a tools list that we'll be posting online within 24 hours and a building materials wish list that we'll be posting online within 48 hours. Okay. So let's start off with the simple stuff. Robin, if you're there, But the community, let's just keep things real simple and non-complicated. Like I say, I've got, out of 9 friends, I've got a list of 7. I'll be speaking to 6 of the, I'm 1 of the 7. I'll be speaking to 6 of those, all 6 today, and getting dates on when they will be ready to launch their first community meal in their neck of the woods. All right. So I want to start with the 6 I have. Excuse me. Well, I'm the 7th one. All right. So I have to get 2 more people to make it 9. And we'll get that. But right now I want to work with the people that have already expressed interest, and I have some type of rapport with already. All right, Robin, if you're there, press 1. I wanted to the first list I want to get out here is our community meals wish list. Okay. But if you're not, we'll just wait for you to come back on. And I'm trying to find okay, Robin, somewhere. Meanwhile, if you guys got any trending topics that you want to cover, 619-768-2945. And, you know, we can put it out there. Let's see. Anyway, yesterday we had on a guest. If you tuned in yesterday, okay, kind of quiet here at the beginning. Well, that's all right. We're getting our momentum. Okay, okay, Robin is somewhere. Let me see. Well, okay, while I'm waiting for this studio to queue up. Our goal this year is basically simple. We want to do a lot of offline activities. And that's why we want the 10 boots on the ground people. Which I call 9 friends. And I'm waiting for... I'm experimenting here. I don't want that. Okay. If you guys know, I mean, what's happening okay, here we go. Here we go. All right, let me do it the old-fashioned way. Okay, well, what we'll do, because people, I guess, are getting back to work or whatever. I'm going to organize, I'm going to just do it. I'm not even going to mention what I'm going to do. Let's see. Okay, well, if you're interested, and I need 2 more boots on the ground partners, just 2 more. And one of the things that our Boots on the Ground partner will be doing is organizing weekly community meals. All right. Will it require any money? Yes. Here's how it goes. Now, there's no money that goes to us now. Let's get that clear. The weekly budget for your meals should be based on the $20 bill. You want to have an intimate group of no more than 10 people, including yourself. You're the 10th person. So for your first one, two, or three meals, or whatever it might be, if only two people show up, that's fine. Everything starts with one anyway. But the weekly budget for food is $20. That $20, and we'll give you some recipes that you want for free. You might know some stuff. What can't you want? The goal is to feed 10 people off that $20. Obviously, we're not buying and feeding people T-bone steaks. All right, but there are plenty of recipes that you can get. All right, everything you need to eat and drink to feed 20 people. Okay. Excuse me, 10 people. 10 people max, and you're one at a time, 10. And that's where we're at today. So far, I've got 6 people. I'm the 7th. I need 2 more, and then I'll have my 9 friends. Okay. All right, well, let's pull something out of the It's My House vault here because it's kind of quiet here. But if you want to be one of my 9 friends, Boots on the Ground to help out with community meals in your neck of the woods, just contact me. On that note, I'm pulling this out of the It's My House archives. Oh, wait a minute. Robin, press 1 again. Well, the light's not coming on. Oh, let me try something.
Hello?
Okay, yeah. You know what? The hand didn't come up for some reason.
Yeah, I've been here.
So, okay. All right, we're going to keep it simple today. All right, I'm breaking stuff down as far as wish lists. So we got a tools wish list. That will be out tomorrow. And then 48 hours from now, the building materials wish list will be online. But today, I just want to concentrate on, you know, one area at a time. The community meals wish list. Now, using the 9 friends model, all right, so far I've got 6 friends. All right. Mm-hmm. I'll be speaking with all 6 today on when they'll be ready to get you started. And because essentially what they need is they need to reach out to 9 people that they think will show up to a community meal, and that's their 9 friends, and they make 10. Out of that 10, you got to feed people. Okay, do they send us money? No. The $20 budget is for the local people to feed their people refreshments. whatever that might look like, hot or cold, sliders or whatever. But that's what that's for. So what are some of the things that you think a local Boots on the Crown partner would need on a regular weekly basis to run a successful community meal?
Okay, so to sustain it, have a community garden. And you could use what you grow along with other ingredients obtained from wherever else and operate a restaurant and a food distribution center.
Okay, all right.
Great idea, but let's
back it up, because we're starting from scratch. So
right.
So we're not going to have a, you know, like Beasley sent me 4 packs of seeds.
Uh-huh.
We're not ready for that yet. So, and it, like the all right, the very first 1 to 4 meetings, what should a person have? Or what kind of items on a wish list do we need? All right, before we even get to that, what are some of the things needed for the first meeting? Community meals meeting.
It's a community meal, so we already figured out some relatively cheap, inexpensive foods and recipes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
You could put the ingredients for those on the list. Figure out how much you need, for however many people. And then, you know, put out calls to action for those ingredients.
Okay, hold on. Let's back up a little bit before that. All right.
Okay.
Location.
Right.
And I'm writing this stuff down. Well, hold on. I got to get my notepad out here. Let's see. Okay. Community meals wish list.
The ingredients for the meal.
Wait a minute. Because I'm
sorry.
All right. Okay. I'm putting it, all right, meeting location, would be the first thing. Because where are you going to meet?
Yep.
Now, let me throw this out there for a meeting location. And this could be for the very first meeting, is how many meetings as you want. Okay. Let's say, because we're recommending people have a budget of $20 to feed 10 people. Let's say you don't have $20 for whatever reason. Great. I would suggest a good meeting location where you can meet people and have a de facto community meal without coming out of your pocket at all. Is go to a local Starbucks, Barnes & Noble, some bookstore like that, the public library. Typically, they will let you get a room for free. I would recommend a place like Starbucks. Barnes & Noble, you sort of got to be quiet. But I would recommend
a
Starbucks.
Excellent. The library is the most perfect place. The library. We rented,
okay.
Not rented, on short notice, we had just marched in the Veterans Day Parade in Auburn, Washington.
Mm.
It's very big.
Now, were you allowed to bring food near, though?
I think we did have something. I can't remember.
Okay. Because remember, a very important part of this is the food.
It's the food. That can easily be found out, but that the library is an excellent choice because it's free and you can reserve a private room. And usually in significant blocks of time as well.
Right.
You know? So I just wanted to share that.
All right. I got that down because when I speak to these people this afternoon, I'll be doing it. All right. So I got libraries, Starbucks, bookstores. And at a Starbucks or a place like Barnes & Noble, let's take a Starbucks. You can meet there and you can talk at a normal tone of voice and you're not going to interfere with anybody's noise level. Number two, if you don't have the $20 to spread over 10 people to feed them, then people that go to Starbucks or Barnes & Noble, they can order their own coffee, their own drink, their own refreshments out of their own pocket. And that's why I call it, a de facto community meal. All right. And I'm also put your own location, because for us it'll your own location or public place.
Park, community center, parks, community centers.
Park.
You can also reserve community centers, parks, public beaches.
Mm. Where food is allowed.
Of course, public beaches. Well,
right.
Owens Beach at Point Defiance, they're famous for clams. So people reserve it during clam season, right? And they go out there and they've got tables set up there, so they dig clams and then they have fires and cook the clams and party on.
Right. Okay, so I got libraries, Starbucks,
like that,
bookstores.
Food, community centers.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
Private properties. All right, I got libraries, Starbucks, bookstores, your location, which is private property, parks, community centers.
Yep.
All right. I would say a good, safe one, maybe the first 1 to 3 cents means you have, my number one pick would be a Starbucks or some coffee house where people would show up, people know about it, you don't have to worry about seating.
I think some of the Starbucks have private rooms, sections that can be reserved too.
Yeah, some of them might.
And if they're not free, those are very inexpensive as well.
I'm gonna put in Whole Foods as well.
So is Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese is very expensive because all you have to do is reserve the room, and then you just have to buy like one or two pizzas. You know, they have a minimum amount that you have to purchase, which can be very inexpensive. And if you're feeding people anyway,
I've never had Chuck E. Cheese pizza. Is Chuck E. Cheese pizza
good? It's all right.
Okay.
It's okay. If you want to go in and have a meeting, blah, 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 you can do that. You can have a private room. And instead of having Chuck E. Cheese, you can have Chuck E. Cheese come on in there and saying happy birthday to anybody regardless, and have him get some land too. I don't know. But you know.
All right. Okay. Right. So All right, that covers. So when I speak to these people, I'll say,
yeah,
here's what we got. Okay, it's up to you to pick your location, but it shouldn't cost you any money. So
right,
there's plenty of places that you can go to that are safe, aesthetically pleasing, and like if you go to
sometimes,
Starbucks.
Sometimes public schools will let you use their auditorium. You just have to inquire and see.
Right. Right. Okay.
Okay.
Now, all right, we got locations.
Colleges or community colleges. Anything
right. Okay.
Community.
True.
Go ahead.
All right, we got location. Now, let's, we got at least two people out of my seven so far that have land locations. So let's look at land locations, property where we're going to actually be doing building and doing these community meals. So we're going to need I guess a portable carport awning.
Uh-huh.
All right, hold it. We can put tent. We don't need all these, but or portable carport awning.
Yep.
Let's see. Something that we can assemble and take down with ease. Okay.
Fly through the air with the greatest of ease. Blue.
All right. I can't think of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
For on location, what about utensils? Or tell them bring their own, I mean, at the food that was going to be served, utensils.
You're going to need napkins, paper plates, paper bowls, utensils, aluminum foil, maybe some tablecloths, maybe some large bowls and
all right,
server spoons.
Napkins, paper plates.
Mm-hmm. Plastic utensils. A plastic utensil set, complete. That would imply, so people get it, knives, forks, and spoons.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it? Trash bags.
Yes.
Anything else?
You need one or two tables to place the food on.
Portable tables.
Yeah.
Portable tables and lawn chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Hand sanitizer.
Yep.
Anything else?
Cups.
Anything else?
Maybe some serving bowls and spoons. I don't know if you want some warmers.
Some what?
You know, warmers. They have the canned heat.
No, let's start off. Yeah, keep it really simple and almost primitive to start.
Okay, because you could either do pizza or chicken. And watch this. If you did fried chicken, it wouldn't matter if the chicken gets cold.
Well, you're ahead of me a little bit. Okay, because when I speak to these people today, because we're trying to get the least amount of resistance. So
yeah,
because they're gonna have to invite those 10 people on the ground.
Yeah,
but what they're gonna need is before they call those people, they're gonna have to number one have a location in sight. So instead of calling the Hyatt or the Hilton for a conference room that you got to pay for, no. We suggest the local library, Starbucks. My two favorite places are Starbucks, a coffee house that people can order their own refreshments.
Yeah.
So those who want to eat and drink, they eat and drink, they pay for it. You know, nobody's saying anything. So that can be done at a Starbucks, a Barnes & Noble bookstore, that type thing. Now, if I do it in Jasper, then I'm providing the refresh. Well, no. I'm asking people, that's where the $20 budget comes in at. I want people to start off as light as possible, meet at a place where if people want to get refreshments, they can pay for it themselves. Those who are not interested in eating anything or drinking anything, they don't have to. You know, now the Jasper location, I can either come out of my pocket for $20, let's say the first time, and then after that, okay, you know, all right, Barbara Mac, you bring the potato chips. So-and-so, you bring the potato salad. So-and-so, all right, you say you're going to bring chicken wings. You know, we can do a potluck style. But I'm just talking about
right.
The very first one to four meetings is make it so, because if you say you're going to meet at Starbucks,
It's nothing out of your pocket. Yeah.
Yes. So before we get into the, like, say, today's Tuesday, the 4th. Mm-hmm. So when I make my phone, I'm making six to seven phone calls today. And I'm going to just keep it simple. You need to find a location, and I'm going to name the locations that we just went through. Okay, so if you tell somebody, well, you want to book it at a nice hotel conference room, that's going to cost $100, $200, $300. That's going to turn people off boots on the ground. No, make it easy. All right, do you know if a Starbucks? Okay, they got a free place that's nice, and they don't have to come up off the $20. Or maybe they want to have it at the public library, as you suggested. Okay, once again, free, safe, aesthetically pleasing. And ask the people at the library, are you allowed to bring in your own refreshments? Now, some people might say, well, let's have it at a church. Here's the catch-22 situation at a church. Many churches, I don't know about the storefront churches, but many of your mid-sized the larger churches, particularly mega churches, But many of your mid-sized churches, they don't allow you to bring in food. They have their own catering, and if there's food in there, they want you to order from their catering service. So that's why I'm not even putting churches on this place of worship. So I think we got enough places for that. And then for their very first meeting, okay, and this all, you know, like, if they want to have food at a private place, then here's a list of things you need to have. If you're going to have it outdoors at somebody's backyard, or like we're going to have ours in Jasper, that's on 4 acres. All right, we're going to need a tent and or portable carport awning, something that we can bring there. It's easy to set up, and we can put some tables under there, portable tables, and have a meeting. All right. We're going to need napkins, paper plates, plastic utensils, trash bags, portables, tables. Let me put that on there. And all right, this wish list will be posted on It's My House TV this afternoon. And then tomorrow morning, we're going to review this. And let's see. Anyway, we'll have it posted, and this will be our first wish list. Well, not our first, because the solar farm and solar garden, we're still working on that. So, but the meetings, the on-the-ground meetings are very imperative. All right, Robin, I can't think of anything else. If you're there.
Nope, I can't think of anything either.
All right. Let me find my way back to the studio. All right. Oh, geez. Man, what's up with these cryptocurrencies people or whatever? I get hit up every day with these people. All right, anyway. So, Robin, now, what's going on your end?
I am in the middle of a great migration from one platform to the other. You know, we're always expanding and upgrading, making upgrades
mm-hmm.
to the network. Yes. So we're...
Okay.
I can't say we're halfway or near completion, but we're working in progress on that migration while maintaining regularly scheduled programming.
Mm-hmm.
And then making sure all of our communications is set up. We have toll-free numbers and apps and websites and everything. So
right.
I'm just going around making sure that everything is. And we have a new domain under I Am Streaming, RobinLynnMaben.org. RobinLynnMaben.org.
Great.
So,
now,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I Am Streaming, will that be available to hold weekly community meals in your neck of the woods?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
All right, well, your first assignment is...
We're going to dispatch the Maven mobile advanced broadcasting in the neighborhood. We're going to dispatch the Maven to oversee.
Oh, man, but yeah. Now, it's pretty cold up there. It's pretty cold up there right now. So where would you have, where would you hold a community meeting in your neck of the woods this month?
At my church, at the library, at just some of the same places that we just mentioned already.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere but at
home. You know,
I do not think it's a good idea to have meetings like this in your home. I don't think it's safe to have strangers in your home.
I just thought of something. You know what? The very first meeting should probably be a Zoom call.
That defeats the purpose. You're right. From what you're doing, and you have to stay focused and do what you say you're going to do.
Right. Yeah, you got it. You're right. It's a community meal, and you can't have a meal on a Zoom call.
So it's not going to work like that.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, when I call these people, you're going to have to find a location, and then they need to set a date. They need to set a date.
And so that we do not have the liability, you tell the people, because when you tell them it's not safe to have it in your home, they're going to go, oh, it's okay, blah, blah. You are not, if they have it in their home, we are not responsible for anything that transpires or happens, and we will not use their content or footage, okay? Because we have to ensure our liability, all right?
Well, the meeting, everything place we named wasn't in somebody's home. Starbucks, the library, community centers, all those are locations that are not private.
That there are some people that are going to want a shortcut, and they're going to want to go, I'll just have it in my home. Some people will have it in my house. Okay?
Right.
So for the sake of liability, no one is allowed to have, if it's my house thing, and if you do have it in your home, we will not be responsible, nor will we participate. You have to draw a line. You understand? Because that's liability.
Right.
If someone does something in their home and someone gets hurt or they say something and it's on the behalf of it, no, that's a lawsuit.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, more than likely, on average, but that's a good point you brought up. We recommend have these. Anyway, so when I call people today, basically it's find a location and set a date.
Yep.
That actually not only set a date, but set, I'm going to say 4 to 6 dates. Because the whole thing of this is we want people that have at least one meeting per week on a consistent weekly basis. That's 52 meetings in a year. That gives you time to develop relationships and working relationships. You can't do, in my opinion, I don't like monthly meetings because you only get 12 of those a year. And out of those 12, realistically, you only do 10 because after Halloween, November is party time and December is definitely party time. So that leaves you with 10 meetings a year, and 10 meetings is less than 2 weeks. You can't really develop a relationship that's going to develop traction. But if you meet once a week, every week, and let's say some weeks you don't meet, everybody might not be at every meeting, but you've got that wheel turning with somebody showing up every week, then you can develop some traction. Because we want to take these community meals lead into community building projects where we're building two houses on Saturday and two houses on Sunday. But it all starts with the meal. So today is not a sexy step, but it's an easy step for me to take. It's an easy step to talk to somebody on the phone for a few minutes. Select a place. Here's some ideas. And number two, give us a date. You got that. Once you get that information, let me know. We'll post it online, and we'll put it in everything we had to do with all with our online social media. So I would say that's where we're at on that. And what we're doing, essentially, we're setting up community-based businesses, which the Amish do, the Mennonites do it. You have many Native American tribes who do it. So this is our version of a community-based business. Which I'm sure there'll be some very interesting testimonies. Okay, so let me put it out there again. We're looking for boots on the ground in your neck of the woods partners. And we want these partners to organize a local community meal in their neck of the woods. All right. Now, we just gave you some ideas on how you can do this for a small group of people. We're talking about no more than 10 people. So, oh, now your hand goes up. Okay. Blog Talk's kind of slow today. What time is it? We've got some interesting guests coming through. Matter of fact, I'll call them today as well. But Marvin Collins' son, he has reactivated Westside Prep Academy and some other regulars that, well, semi-regulars that we have in here at least once or twice a year. See if we can get them scheduled in here this week as well. All right. On that note, let's take a little interlude.
You give me that funny feeling in my tummy. Yeah.
I used to spend the night in hotel parking lots. What was I going to do? I didn't have nowhere to stay, so I lived in the car. I had $35. And I said, come on, God, man, I've been trying to make this dream come true. You done left me out here like this. And I was crying so hard that he just said, I didn't like hear a voice or nothing, but he spoke to me. And however, he said, if you get up, I'm going to take you places you ain't never been. Now, I was finna quit. So I said, skip it. I'm going to quit anyway. So I got in my car. I went to a payphone, and I was going to call my dad. You remember back in the day where you could punch in a code and call your answering machine and get your messages? So I called, and I punched in the code, and the said, doop. He said, hey, Steve, this is Chuck Sutton with Showtime at the Apollo. We saw a tape of you. You're very funny. If you could get here Sunday night, we'd love to put you on television. Call me back. Let me know if you can make it. So I hung the phone up. I'm crushed because my whole dream of being on TV, and I couldn't get to New York. I got $35. How am I going to get to New York? I can't make it. So I'm standing there at the phone booth and tears just coming down my face. I said, God, so that must be a sign for me to go home. Because this is it. I ain't even got the money to go to the Apollo. My whole thing, wanting to be on TV, I couldn't even make the dream come true. This is the most messed up moment. And so I said, man, let me call this dude back and see if he said this Sunday. Because maybe he said next Sunday and I could hustle up a little bit of money or something. I don't know what I'm going to do, but let me just call him back. So I call him back. Steve, this is Chuck Sutton, Showtime at the Apollo. We saw a tape of yours. You're very, very funny. Look, we have an opening Sunday night at Showtime at the Apollo. If you can make it, we'd love to put you on TV. I said, it's this Sunday. Before I hit the button, I heard, doop, you have another message. Now, it wasn't there before. So I punched my code in. I listened to the second message. It said, Steve Harvey, this is Tom Sobel from the Comedy Caravan. This is a Thursday. He said, I have a gig in Jacksonville, Florida on Friday night that pays $150. If you can get there Friday night, you'll make $150. So I called him back. And I said, hey, Tom, did you get a gig away? He said, no, it's still available. He said, can you get there? I said, I'm in Pensacola, Florida. I'm 3.5 hours away. So I drive to Jacksonville, Florida. And that night, I made the 150. The club owner said, man, you're funnier than the guy we hired. If you stay tomorrow night, I'm going to give you another $150. So now I got $300 now. So I get on the phone, I call Chuck Sutton, I say, hey man, is the gig still available at Showtime at the Apollo? He said, yeah, we got one opening left. I said, I'll be there. So I call Eastern Airlines, who used to be open back then. They had a special for $99 going from Jacksonville, Florida to New York round trip. So I parked my car at the airport. I got it. Got on a plane, flew. Everything I had was in two bags. Got to the Apollo. I said, hey, man, I'm here. I got there at 11 o'clock in the morning. He said, you can't stay here because you don't come on to the late show tonight. I said, man, I ain't got nowhere to go. I said, if you just let me stay in this building, man, I ain't gonna move around nothing. I ain't got nowhere to go. I'm in Harlem. I can't go back out here. I got these two bags. I got victim wrote all over me, man. So he said, all right, if you go upstairs, don't come down. So he put me in a dressing room on the sixth floor. So that's where all the comedians were. So I stayed up there. I got hungry around 3 o'clock, man. I couldn't take it no more. So I went back downstairs, a dude named Alton Liston. I said, hey, man. He said, man, I thought I told you don't come down them damn steps. I said, hey, man, I'm just hungry, man. I said, let me go to that KFC I saw on the corner. Just let me get some chicken. I'll come right back. He said, man, if you ain't back in 20 minutes, you ain't getting in this building. So I went, bought me some chicken, came back. So the comedians started coming in the building. They started coming up on the sixth floor. So I meet this guy named D.L. Hughley. I introduce myself. He introduced himself. I'm sitting there. Another guy come in named Dwayne Johnson. Then this other dude walked in named Jamie Foxx. And I introduced myself. We don't know each other. Ain't none of us famous. It's 1991, man. They gave everybody the lineup. I was on the last show of the night. I don't go on to 11 at night. I done had this four pieces of chicken. I'm starving, man. That chicken done wore off. I'm nervous, man. I'm about to throw up. D.L. Hughley went downstairs. D.L. Hughley got booed off. Dwayne Johnson got booed off. Jamie Foxx went down there and got booed. They booed Jamie, then Jamie started singing. And then they started clapping. And Jamie had their ass, then he went back to them jokes, and they got his ass. So I'm walking down the steps, and I see Jamie sitting on the steps. I said, hey, man, hang in there. He said, man, that ain't never happened to me before, man. This is crazy. This Jamie Foxx, man, one of the most talented people in all of comedy. And now, you don't even know how nervous I am, man. I can't even. My breathing is shot because these dudes been booed. So I walk out. I had wrote this joke. Mike Tyson had got in a fight in Harlem with this heavyweight named Mitch Green. Mike Tyson had hit the dude in the eye in the store. Now, he was on the news. His eye was swollen. So the joke I wrote was, they was interviewing Mitch Green, and he was telling everybody what happened, but his eye took over the interview. And I wrote this joke that his eye started talking and was just, I tell you what happened.
The heavyweight champ's fist is coming towards my face. I just said, Lord, Lord, Lord.
And I wrote this whole joke about this dude's eyeball talking. And when the punch came, and all this here, the Apollo, man, they went crazy. They lost their mind. I got a standing ovation, man. I walked off stage, man, just started crying. I couldn't believe it. They paid me. I made $750 for being on TV for one night. I had never made $750 telling jokes in one night. And so that was my first television appearance. A couple weeks later, Sinbad was the host of the show. He got this job on Different World. And so he quit. And so Mark Curry became the host. And then Mark Curry got hanging with Mr. Cooper, and he quit. And they came to me and said, would you come back to New York and host Amateur Night for us to just try you out? Oh, ain't no problem. And so I went to New York. I hosted Amateur Night, and I was killing. But every time we went to commercial break, I was supposed to let the warm-up act take over like Ruben does. But I knew not to let the warm-up act do that because he would change the attitude of the crowd because the Apollo was a wild place. So I stayed out there. I did the warm-up and the hosting, and I created a bond with that audience. And that's how I got on TV. It was my very first TV show. I hosted Showtime at the Apollo. I ended up being the longest-running host in the history of Showtime. I did that show for 8 years. Nobody ever did it for 8 years. And that was my turn-back moment. See, in your life, everybody has a turn-back moment. You have a moment where you can go forward or you can give up. But the thing you have to keep in mind before you give up is that if you give up, the guarantee is it will never happen. That's the guarantee of quitting, that it will never happen, no way under the sun. The only way the possibility remains that it can happen is if you never give up, no matter what. Because God is always coming. He's never too late. At your worst moment, look, man, when they told me I had to be in New York, I saw no way I could get there. But that God, though, he make the phone ring. I end up in Florida. I make $300. Then I go to New York. I make $750. almost got $1,000 out of nowhere. That's what happened to me. That was my moment of never giving up. That's when I first learned that faith was everything, that you have to remain faithful.
I'd love to teach you something today, something that is perhaps one of the greatest revelations, one of the greatest steps forward in brain science. And this is something that you can begin applying to your life today and getting results from almost straight away.
People keep talking about how the world is going to come to an end. And I wonder, in these days, in these times, if anybody people keep talking about how society is falling down today. And as hard as I try not to listen just to what them folks got to say, but you know, I just can't help but look around and see we digging our own grave. And there's just one thing I want to know. Can anybody be saved?
Woman will sell her precious body. Begin here in the historic Civil Rights District in Birmingham at the entrance of Kelly Ingram Park, where a monument sits to the four girls who were killed in the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing. That church sits just across the street. It's still an active place of worship today. And if you look to your left, the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute, a place where people come from around the world to learn the history and the tolerance it took to change the world. All of this is now part of the National Park Service, but just around the corner from here is the A.G. Gaston Motel, hidden in plain sight. CBS 42's Art Franklin has the story of the place and the man who's a national treasure himself.
I had my high school football banquets in there, and even after I got to be an adult, occasionally came to the lounge.
Birmingham Resource Center Executive Director Bob Dickerson reflecting on days gone by at the A.G. Gaston Motel. Dr. Gaston hired Dickerson to work at his bank, Citizens Federal, in 1984.
I wasn't an important part of his life and his business, but he was such a vital part of man.
It was a time of deep segregation in the South. When Gaston opened the motel in 1954, it was the only place black entertainers and black visitors could stay in Birmingham.
This was the place. I mean, you think about history, world history was made here.
When you look inside of here, you've got to think about the conversations that were held.
Yeah, you got to think about the meetings in there. You got to think about the courage that folks had when they were in these rooms, knowing that that folks, you know, in that day didn't have a problem setting off a few sticks of dynamite.
A pair of bombs exploded here on May 11, 1963, destroying part of the motel. It happened just 2 days after the Big Three, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Fred Shuttlesworth, and Ralph Abernathy, announced a truce with white city leaders and the business community to end a violent showdown between demonstrators and police.
They bombed the motel as they bombed a lot of stuff. But, you know, that didn't stop anything when you really think about it. Now, you know, some people, the four little girls lost their lives and other people lost lives and property, but the movement didn't stop.
The A.J. Gaston Motel was ground zero for civil rights protests and demonstrations. Inside room 30, that was the war room for the movement. It was also Dr. King's headquarters when he was here in Birmingham.
The courageous acts that took place in that room, you know, strategizing on how to fight Bull Connor and fight white supremacy and bigotry and hatred, you know, that all took place right here.
Gaston's role in the movement can't be minimalized. Blacks enjoyed plush amenities at his motel. He provided jobs and changed lives with the A.G. Gaston Boys and Girls Club. Gaston's fingerprints and footprints are throughout Birmingham, especially the Civil Rights District where his bank stood, the Booker T. Washington Insurance Company, and his business college. The motel is crumbling, shattered, and in disrepair, but finally it's slated for renovations as part of the Birmingham Civil Rights National Monument.
I'm really encouraged about what's going to happen. It's sad to see it in disrepair, but it's still standing, and I think we have to take some kind of solace and happiness in that.